guys believe in Jesus?
No.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ? Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ? If you believe in Jesus Christ, do you believe in Jesus?
No.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Maybe not.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I do not.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
No? Do you guys believe in Jesus?
No.
No.
I don't.
Do you guys believe in Jesus?
No.
Do you believe in Jesus?
We're sure.
Do you guys believe in Jesus?
No, we don't.
You don't believe in Jesus?
No,
do you guys believe in Jesus?
No, we don't.
You guys believe in Jesus? Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ?
I'm Jewish.
Do you guys believe in Jesus Christ?
I actually do not.
No. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
No.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I'm okay, thank you.
Would you say you two believe in Jesus?
We want to welcome you to the table tonight. We are going to be talking about the title is Who Jesus Calls You to Be. And we're going to kind of talk about what that looks like, what a disciple of Christ, what that looks like, and what it takes to become a disciple of Christ. You know, what does he call you to be in this world that is everything but Jesus? And so this is prior to our video posting, and I have given our tech girls a video of a TikTok of a man who is going around asking people, do you know who Jesus Christ is? And everybody's like, no. No.
Or just not even responding.
Yeah, acknowledging or whatever. And I think sometimes we're in Kentucky, we take advantage of the fact that we live in the Bible Belt, and most people know who Jesus is, or they say they believe in Jesus, or they believe in Jesus, and they believe that they're true disciples of Jesus. And so that's really foreign for us to be in a place where most people don't believe, because most people go to church, you know, and just very few don't. And so I wanted to show that just because we need to understand that we live in a world, yeah, majority does not believe in Jesus. And
and that's just crazy to even think about.
Yeah, it is. My husband and I left on Thursday and went on a cruise to the Bahamas Thursday, and we got back last night. And when you're on a boat, with people. We had a guy from Morocco, and I mean, just everywhere. There was people from Canada, and, you know, we met some of the most amazing people. When you sit down with people at dinner and you start talking, and they start telling them, you know, that's the first thing is, where are you from? And, you know, and so we met a lot of great, great people. And then there was people, you know, who don't believe in Jesus. And it was really good to get away. And I remember before we left, I had to pick up some medicine, and I was thanking the Lord. I was like, thank you, Lord, that David and I are going to be able to get away, just me and him. And then I got to thinking,
oh no, we're going to be just,
yeah, just, but we have not been away on a vacation of just relaxation since our honeymoon.
Yeah.
Like, we've always had our kids, or we went with another couple, or whatever. And I thought, okay, so I was really thanking the Lord for this. And I even told David before we left, I was like, it's been our honeymoon since we've actually went to like a beach or someplace like that without somebody else there. And
it's the same for me and Tommy too.
Yeah. And it, that is so important, because, you know, we drove 10 hours to and from. And so that also gave us a lot of time to talk about our marriage and budget. And, you know, there were some heated moments, but that's how you work stuff out or whatever. But we got on the boat, and you just see a side of each other that you don't normally see, because, you know, here I'm composed and about my grandkids and all about Jesus. And it was not that I wasn't about Jesus, but I was able to relax a little bit and just enjoy. But the funny thing is, I won two awards on this cruise. It was the funniest thing. He does have video proof, but I threatened him with his life. Don't you ever, because the first one, we were just getting ready for a show, and they're like, we're going to play movie trivia. And so they played a song, and you would have to write down what the movie was. And so I was the only one that got all 10 right. And there's 2,500 people on this boat. And so, you know, there's a lot of people. And so I got this award. I got called up on stage. I was like, oh my gosh, I won an award for the movie trivia. So on the last day, it was a day at sea. David, they would say, okay, we need 8 teams to come up. And I was like, I'm not going up in front of anybody. And it was cornhole. So he wanted to do cornhole. And I play cornhole. And I regretted not doing that because he really wanted to. But I didn't know we were playing cornhole.
Yeah.
So they just tell you to come up. So then another time they were like, okay, we need all the ladies to come up. And so all these ladies go up and they teach them a dance. And I thought, okay, like, I'm going to loosen up because I'm very conservative. So they were like, all right, we need 10 people to come forward. So I was like, I'm going. So I get up there. They're like, we're going to have a dance off.
You see videos on TikTok of people doing that. Everybody's around. Yes. Was that the same?
That's pretty much it. So I'm standing there, and I'm like number 9, okay? And granted, it was crazy because there was only 4 white people in the whole group. And I'm like, I'm looking at my competition, and I'm like, they're over there dancing, you know, lots of rhythm and, you know, moves that I can't do. And I'm like, what am I going to do?
Did you do the robot?
I really thought about doing the robot, but I did something even better. It was even better than the robot. I did the worm. Now, I used to do the worm all the time when I was young. And I was good at it, okay? And so, like, but I haven't done it since I was an adult. And so I'm looking at David. And they would give the people a medal if they didn't make it to the next round. So I'm looking at David, and I'm going, I'm going to have to do that. And he's going, no. And so Apple Bottom Jeans was my song that I had to dance to. And so I started out with Apple Bottom Jeans or whatever. I have a T-shirt on. I'm not in a bathing suit. And everybody else is in their bathing suit. I have on this St. Jude's. I had just donated to St. Jude's and got a Carnival St. Jude shirt. So I put that on me, and I had my Jesus hat. It had a cross on it. And so so I do the worm and made it to the next level. Okay. So 5 people got off, and there were 5 left. And I was the only white girl there, and there was another white man there. And I'm like, okay, you know, I've knocked off some competition or whatever. And so then we had to dance to Eye of the Tiger. It was just crazy. It was crazy. I came in 3rd. And so when I walk off with my medal, my husband looks at me. He goes, you just did the worm in front of 2,500 people with your Jesus hat on. And I'm like, I did. And I said, this day's between us. He said, oh, no, I have already sent the kids the video. I'm like, this was supposed to be between me and you. You know, like, no, I would have never known my kids were there. So anyway, I won 2 awards on the ship. And it was, but I didn't, like, win any money because they played Deal or No Deal. And I didn't win a free cruise or nothing like that.
Look at you.
I know. It looked more like a woolly worm than it was like the worm that I normally would do when I was younger. So David said, you really didn't get off the ground that So it was, but you do things when you go on trips. It brings, he's not seen that side of it.
I don't know if we're going to be able to get that.
I know. So I'm sure he will show you the video, but yeah, it was quite funny. It was, but I think he was shocked and embarrassed at the same time. But I knew I had to pull out the big guns, you know. If I was going to stick around with these people on the boat, I had to pull out the big guns. And so I guess in my mind, I thought I could still do the worm. But it David's like, you really didn't come off the ground very. He said, you probably thought you were coming off the ground, but you really didn't. So anyway, okay. So I don't know how I'm going to transition now into this.
We could talk about who you were before Christ.
Yes, Christy BC. Yeah, that you could do that. You could do that. But I feel like you totally can do the worm and be sold out to Jesus in your Jesus hat. But that's the first thing he's like, in front of 2,500 people, you just did the worm and in your Jesus hat. And I was like, absolutely.
I feel like we should put that on.
No.
Thanks, Alicia.
Yes. It was quite funny. But anyway, okay, so who Jesus calls us to be in this world. You want to start out with what you've got?
Well,
talk about your book and your Bible study that you're doing.
So I'm doing this Bible study at Trinity First Fire here in Winchester. And so we're doing the Bondage Breaker. And so it really talks about negative thinking, you know, irrational feelings, how it all can lead to sinful behavior and keep you in bondage and make you feel trapped. And so one of the things that I struggle with, and we talk about this often, I talk to you about it, is this negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. Like it's, and I know you deal with that too, Brittany.
Yeah, I think we all do.
But it's just like you don't realize, once I started reading this, it's like I didn't realize how much of my day is consumed with that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it'll be good.
I don't know where it comes from.
We're supposed to live free in Christ.
We are.
And I don't feel like I'm living free in Christ. And so I really genuinely want to get, I don't read books very often.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey.
I'm not one to do that, yeah. But I'm excited to go through this with the women's group.
You know, everybody starts somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I was a horrible student, but now I read all the time. But I had to start out reading. You know what I'm saying? So, but I don't know where the negative talk starts. I guess it's just what you deal with in life and things that come up, and you know, maybe it's a trauma or maybe it's how somebody bullied you or whatever, but self-doubt runs rampant. I mean, there's no woman, well, I won't say no woman, but I mean, I guess you have to have a lot of self-confidence to do the worm on a cruise, but you know, like I really don't have that. Like I'm not somebody that takes lots of selfies. I can never look at myself and be like, I look beautiful, you know, but that our self-image is, man, it keeps us from walking in freedom, like you say. And I don't know what the answer is for that. I think it's just Christ in you, and he transforms you, and you start to believe less of what the world says about you and more of who Christ says you are. And when you really, really grasp who Jesus says you are, mm-hmm. it don't matter what the world says anymore. Yeah. And I think that is where your true transformation, because I mean, I had the worst self-esteem my whole marriage. I believe that David settled for me a lot in my marriage until when I was 43, when I went through everything. And he could have left me, but he didn't. Mm. And I couldn't believe that he wasn't going to leave me. And so that is just the enemy that is telling you all of that stuff. And that's why it's so important. We talk about all the time, you have to captivate or capture that thought. But you have to know what God says about you and who Jesus says you are.
Yeah, we've taught all about this. And it's still just something that.
Yeah, because I can look at you and I have a total different view. And we even discussed it before we got on camera tonight about she feels very not enough to be sitting here at the table when, you know, my husband and I on the way home, we listened to two of the podcasts and he was like, he picked out, man, Lisa brings so much. And I was like, I need you to tell her that because she doesn't see that. You know, and that's just something that I think we all work through, because I can remember thinking I was a fake and not good enough and all that stuff. And so as I have studied and filled myself with the Word of God, he kind of just cleans all that out. And you just have to, you stand firm on his Word and who you are. So, but that's good. When you get done with that book, I definitely want to read it, because I think we all need, that would be a good Bible study for women.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. And well, that would be maybe that's what God has for you next, is to lead.
Remember on our New Year's episode, I said, you know, I wanted to get to a place where all I worry about is the audience of one, and mm-hmm. that's Jesus.
That's right.
So I think this is just kind of a path and journey. Absolutely. That he's starting on.
Well, maybe that's what you can do, is you can start, you can teach a class and I'll sit in and learn from you. And, you know, you never know. You never know what God has planned for you with that. Because I believe that that holds so many people back from becoming who God has created them to be, mm-hmm. because they don't believe that they are enough or they have a spiritual gift or anything like that. So I think that that is one of the main things of a woman, is how they view themselves or what someone has told them they are. And it's learning who God says you are and believing that and standing on it. So that's awesome. What was that called? Bondage Breaker?
Bondage Breaker. Okay. It's by Neil Anderson.
Okay.
Overcoming negative thoughts, irrational feelings, and habitual sins.
So if you go through that, pick that book up. Because, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I got mine on Amazon, of course.
Okay. Yep. Okay. All right. What else have you got?
So we're going to talk about who Jesus calls you to be. And part of what Christy had kind of assigned to me was how the Word of God should affect our behavior. And so I think it's important to remember who we are, who we were before Christ. Paul describes this in Ephesians 2:1-3. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you were formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." And so Satan is committed to keeping us in sin.
Yeah.
And under the power of sin. And so even Paul struggled with this, and he talks about that in, he writes about that struggle in Romans 7:15-25. And so this is where he's talking about, "For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate." And so it's up to us to decide, you know, how to go forward. Do we want to choose Christ? Do we want to choose sin in our flesh? Because, you know, we want to choose righteousness, and that's Christ. And so, you know what you should do, but the flesh, it creeps in sometimes, and it makes it very hard to succeed in fleeing, you know, the devil. So
you are at war with your flesh. You are in a battle with your flesh, because your flesh is against the spirit. And so when you realize that your flesh wants what your flesh wants, and it goes against, I mean, it's the desires of the flesh, which is what will not make you inherit the kingdom of God. And so when you realize that, and I don't think that a lot of people realize that you are your worst enemy.
Yeah.
You know, and so when Jesus comes in, he is making you get rid of all those fleshly desires to walk in the spirit. And if you are living, like, you know, if you want to, whether you eat too much, or whether you drink too much, or you do too much drugs, or you watch too much porn, or you spend too much money, or you whatever, those are the desires of the flesh. That's what your flesh desires. And the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control and peace and joy and all that stuff. And so it is a battle. That's the Lord just chipping away at your flesh. And until you realize that your flesh is against the spirit, then you will continue to live your life on what you want. You know, what your flesh desires. If you want a big greasy cheeseburger, but yet you've got, you know, if you are a comfort eater.
It's like it's what you want. If you want the Lord, that has to be something you want more than anything. You want to sin. Mm-hmm. It's just, and then you're at that moment to make the decision whether you're going to choose.
It's a battle.
Jesus or choose the flesh.
That's right.
And you're not always going to win.
But I think it becomes easier. The longer you walk with the Lord and the longer you walk in obedience, it's easier to lay the flesh down. I think that it's a training, you know.
My issue too is self-confidence. And I think when you go through life and there's things that you fail in and you see, or you feel like it's a failure, I think that's definitely where your self-esteem and your self-confidence.
You can do something.
You have to learn how to deal with that in a positive way.
Yes, but we run to those things of the flesh, like the alcohol, the drugs, the eating, the shopping, whatever it is that makes us feel better, because we feel like a failure.
Well, just like me, like I'm trying to like cut out mostly sugar and stuff like that and eat healthy, because no matter if you work out 6-7 days a week, like you still struggle with your weight. Yeah. I mean, people who don't, I don't understand you all, and that's great, but it's just like that decision, like you've got Oreos in front of you. You've got to make that decision, and it's hard.
It is very like, hard.
And sometimes it's because you've gone through a whole day of, you know, being a manager at work and dealing with issues, putting out fires, and then you come home and it's just like you want to just eat your feelings.
That's right.
Eat your emotions.
I have found out, like, it. If I've got a, I know when one of my employees passed away, I went and ate what I wanted, like Chinese.
And then you feel awful afterwards. Yeah. That's the same thing with sin. It's like, you know the right thing to do. This is what Paul is saying right here in that Romans 7, 15 through 25. It's like, you know the right thing to do, but it's because of your flesh.
And it's not that eating is bad, but it's what you run to.
Well,
you know,
it's what you're convicted of too. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, I mean, you should run to Jesus and get your comfort from him. But it's hard when you would rather go to Chinese.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, so my studies led me to the rich young ruler, which was a story. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem and for a feast. And this young man runs up to him and says, "Oh, good teacher. You want to read that?"
What is
it? It's Mark 10, 17. My Bible was in David's car because we stuck everything in his car on the way to our cruise, and he wasn't home, so I didn't get my Bible. So Mark 10, 17.
He was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth." Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property.
Yeah. So when the rich young ruler, this is a story about a rich young ruler, but it is also a story of us. So I believe all of us at one time have went to God and said, you know, what is it going to take for us to inherit eternal life? And the rich young ruler, yes, he was rich. He had power. Probably inherited his money. The pastor that I was learning from, he was teaching about, you know, how most people got rich or whatever. But the crazy thing about this is that I never had put myself in the place of the rich young ruler. I had never. I just thought he was telling a parable, and that it really didn't have anything to do with me. But so the rich young ruler runs up to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom or inherit eternal life?" And Jesus comes back with a question and he says, "Why do you call me good?" Because the rabbis had always taught in Judaism that there's no one good except God. And so Jesus asked the man, "Why do you call me good? Either you're saying I'm not good, because only God is good, or you are calling me God." So Jesus was making this man think deeper than what he intended to think or whatever. And so when Jesus answered him, he said, "Go and sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, and you will inherit a treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." And so the guy couldn't get past selling all of his treasure or all of his possessions. He couldn't get past that because he was rich and wealthy. But that's not what was going to get him to heaven. He said, "Do all that and come and follow me." And so the way that this puts it into perspective is, like, for me and for you, Jesus is going to tell you that you have to give something up to come and follow him. It's you can't get to heaven by anything you do. You can only get treasure. And to come and follow him, that is how you get to heaven. And so what is it in your life that Jesus is asking you to give up? And we hold so tightly to the things of this world because we, you know, this is one, we have one life to live. And it's YOLO, you know, you only live once. And we think that if we give our, if we give something up, that we're going to be missing out in this life. And that is the verse. There's a verse that says, you know, what God has planned for you can't compare, you know, what you, the suffering that you have now can't compare to what God has planned for you. So we party and we drink and we sleep around and we do all these things. And Jesus says, whatever your struggle is, stop those things. Come and follow me. Because a true disciple of Jesus stops.
Well, it kind of just shows you that, you know, his, what he was saying to Jesus was superficial. It wasn't, you know, had like truth underneath that of his desire to follow Jesus.
And he thought because the rabbis would teach that if you, kept the law, that you inherited eternal life. Well, no one can keep the law. And so Jesus, he kind of took his breath out by saying, because he was like, I've done all those things. Because Jesus, you know, tells him to do, you know, he gives him some of the Ten Commandments that he needs to keep or whatever. And he's like, oh, I do all that. And I've done that since I was young. And Jesus says, but there's one thing you have not done, and that is sell your possessions and come and follow him. He wasn't so concerned with his possessions because that wasn't going to get him anything. He wanted him to come and follow him. And so for me, it was just so crazy when I started saying, you know, and I was telling her earlier that the process to become a rabbi is long and grueling. It is a very hard process. They start when they are 5 and 6 years old of memorizing the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Then they go from 11 to 15 years. And if you don't make it at that point, you just go home and do a trade, whatever your dad did. She was talking about Paul, and we were discussing this earlier, that Paul actually got the last part is to become under a rabbi and to live under that rabbi for several years. And the words that they're wanting to hear, that every Jewish man is wanting to hear, is come and follow me. And you would follow that Jewish rabbi for years, and you would study under him, and you would learn all this stuff. And so that's what everyone wanted to hear. And so the disciples, you know, they had all went and studied the Old Testament, and they didn't cut it. They didn't make it. They didn't make that final cut. So they went home and became fishermen. And so here comes Jesus, and he goes to each one of them, and he says, come and follow me. And so they were very aware of what come and follow me means. That means that you leave everything behind and you follow me for several years and you learn under me. And so with us, whatever we struggle with, for me, I gave myself to Christ when I was 9, but I did not fully surrender until 43. And that's when I started dying to the world, because I fell in love with Jesus, and I, you know, fell so in love with him that I fell out of love with the world. And there was nothing that this world could offer me. And so it's not a big deal. The Lord knows that everything is up. I would give everything up for him. And that's just...
Could you imagine having Jesus in front of you, and you know, and you've heard all the stories, you've either been with him and you've seen it, and then he says, come and follow me, and you don't want it.
Well, that's why the rich young ruler went away sad.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to inherit, you know, eternal life, but he wasn't willing to give up what he had, because he had a lot of wealth. And that, like I said, that wasn't what was going to get him to heaven. That was going to get him the treasure. Yeah. So he went away sad. And I think that that's why a lot of people don't follow Jesus today, because they know that they'll have to stop partying or sleeping around or whatever. And we live under this false deceit. We're deceived by Satan that we're good. Because a lot of us, we have a partying life, or we sleep around, or we have adultery, or we do drugs. And then you go to church on Sunday and you think you're good. We all have to give something up. We all have to sacrifice something to follow Jesus, because you can't be a true disciple of Jesus. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus and live the ways of the flesh and the world. That is false salvation. A disciple, I mean, Matthew, all of those guys gave up everything and followed Jesus, and they were to be disciples. And so, like, we have to be very careful that we get comfortable, because those are the people who are going to say, Lord, but I went to church. Mm-hmm. I gave to charity. I was baptized. And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Because there's a lot of people who give, who sell all their possessions and give to the poor, but they did not follow Jesus. And so they will be in hell. So we have to understand that it's not what we do. It's not that we're baptized or we go to church or we teach Sunday school or anything. It is, do you follow Jesus? And what does following Jesus look like in your life? You will not be allowed to be like the OG. You're a new creation. You know, the old has passed away. You're new. You've been given a new heart. And so your behaviors and your talk and your walk looks totally different. You're unrecognizable from your old buddies, you know? And so a lot of us are under some false salvation of thinking, oh, well, we just have to believe. There's a lot of people who believed in Jesus.
Even the devil.
But they didn't follow him. They, you know, Jesus calls us to be his disciples and go make disciples of the world. And a lot of us don't want to give up the party life or whatever. And so you're going to walk away sad because you're not willing to let go of what you have in this life because you think you're going to miss out mm-hmm. on something. And I think that is going to be... It's really sad when you put it in that, like, that is what Jesus is asking. Come and follow me. You know, put yourself down or whatever, you know, whatever he's called. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, he wants you to lay everything, and he'll constantly ask you, like, okay, Christy, we've worked on this. Now we're going to work on this. I want you, you know, and you just fill yourself with the word of God, and it just transforms your heart, and you can't go back to living like you are. If someone falls away, they were never of the faith, because disciples, you don't fall, and like Judas, I mean, but Judas was never saved. I mean, Judas was under Jesus for 3 years, but he was never saved. Mm-hmm. So it is a heart matter. It is, you know, Judas did all this, but he was, you know, taking money, and he was being like the old self. So
I wanted to go ahead and read verse 23. So it's Mark 10:23. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. Yeah. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They were even more astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Looking at them, Jesus said, with people it's impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. And that's what you were just saying, you know, yeah. You have to have God.
You do.
To get through it.
You do. And it can't be one toe in the world and one toe. You know, a lot of people, even myself, I wanted Jesus for like insurance that I wasn't going to go to hell. I wanted a little bit of Jesus. And I wanted a lot of what I wanted to do. You know, I thought, oh, I've got Jesus on Sunday. I love Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But there was nothing in my life that transformed my life to where I turned from sin and went a different direction.
Mine has been a slower journey.
Yeah. Years. Well, I mean, mine was pretty slow in the very beginning. I mean, like I said, it was 2022 before he let me... teach. Mm-hmm. But there was 2 years there of me fighting against sin. Now I would teach on TikTok and I would talk on TikTok, but as far as like teaching, and as soon as I laid down my last sin, that's when he said, okay, let's go, let's do this. And you won't move. You won't. And some people, you know, we all have a spiritual gift that is supposed to further the kingdom. And so there's no one on this earth that is supposed to just be sitting dormant. Like, oh, I just go to church or, you know.
Check all the boxes.
Yeah, because you can't. You want to tell other people about Jesus because Jesus is coming soon. And you know, well, it's just like I had a staff member pass away. thankfully she was in Christ. And so, but if someone drops dead, then it's it for them. And so my husband lost a customer while we were gone on the cruise, and he just quit breathing in his sleep. He's 13 years younger than us.
Oh, God.
And the first thing I asked David was he saved? And he was. But I mean, you don't know when you're going to take your last breath, and your eternity is forever, and it's too late. And so I plead with everybody, like, Jesus is worth giving up. And it's not like I feel like I have a void in my life either, like, oh, I'm missing out on all the partying or whatever. I am so full of peace and joy and love and Jesus. It transforms you, and your desires become his desire, or his desires become your desires, and you are less fleshy, you know. But it's hard. A lot of people look at it, but a lot of us are the rich young ruler, and we walk away sad because we're not willing to give up what we, yeah. And it's very clear in the Bible. It says, you know, don't conform to the world. Don't love the things of this world, because they are so enticing, you know. AI and just all the technology and the next best thing, and it just keeps you so distracted from what really is important, and that's following Jesus and making sure that your loved ones are. And that's something I tried to really explain to David, because, like, you know, all of this is new to him as well, and he was trying to work everything out in his mind, like, this man had just passed away. And I kept telling him, like, this is why it's so important that in every opportunity that the Lord gives you, that you're to speak a good word, and you're to try to lead everybody to Jesus, because you don't know when it's going to be their last breath.
On Sunday, we had a few baptisms, and one of the people that was baptized was a man who had recently been sick, and he'd been in the hospital, and I think Pastor Lee said he had died like 3 times, and they brought him back to life, and he was there. He made it to church to be baptized. Right.
That's so amazing.
It was amazing to see.
Yeah. And this world is it's hard to see. I mean, I'm just blown away again by the TikTok of people they don't have a desire to even know Jesus and what Jesus can do. And there's nobody that's happy. Like, you know, happiness is an emotion, and it is circumstantial. And if things go your way, then you're happy. And if things don't go your way, then you're not happy. But the joy in your life, regardless if there's grief or there is sadness or, you know, you're angry or whatever, there's still joy in your life. And there's peace when things go crazy. And so Jesus literally he's the only way. So what else do you have?
Something that, and I've read this, and we've talked about the armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone through all that. And that was one of our bigger episodes.
It was.
But this book talks about, you know, getting up and putting that on every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, we studied it, we learned about it, but I never even thought about, okay, every day that I get up, I'm going to read Ephesians 6, 10 through 16. That's how I'm going to put the armor on, mm-hmm, and cover myself every day. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things.
Like, if you don't get up,
if you know you're in battle, which we all are,
yes, every
like,
day.
Why wouldn't you do it? That's just something that just clicked from reading this.
Yeah. I feel like that needs to be your first goal. If you get up of a morning and your first thing to do is, you know, get everybody ready, and then you go to work, and then, like, you don't think about Jesus at all until lunchtime. Half your day is already gone, and you are not even, you're in a war that you don't even realize that you're in. If you could see the things around you and how the enemy is coming after you and your children, sending your children to school without praying over them or praying for them on the way to work, using, instead of listening to K93 or whatever, turning it off and praying to the Lord about everything that you know, Lord, I don't know what today has planned for me, but I know that you go before me, mm-hmm, and I know that you love me and you love my children, and I just thank you for all of them, and I thank you for all the blood. I thank you for your word, and, you know, just praising his name, your whole life will change.
Yeah.
But if you don't even I mean, I can remember the days that I would be like, have I prayed in like 2 or 3 days? I remember being there. And I can tell you that there is a whole big difference between my life now and the way that I was when I did not pray and I did not study. And I'm not saying that you have to be in the Word as much as I am, because I mean, this morning at lunchtime, Carly was like, have you listened to, because we were gone on Sunday, I missed church. And she's like, did you listen to Lee's sermon? And I was like, yeah. I said, I had a couple sermons I needed to listen to prior because we were studying. And she's like, you've listened to 3 sermons? Yeah. You know, but that, you know, that's my whole day. That's all I listen to.
Yeah.
And you know, I love the Word of God. I'm definitely in my element now. And but you don't have to do that. You could just do, they have these shorts on YouTube that I've just learned about. My son's been teaching me about them. And they're like 5 minute, or you can do like, there's some that are 5 minutes, there's some that are 1 minute or whatever. Watch those. You know, if you don't have the time that I have, you know, not fit Jesus in, but we have to be, you know, realistic. You know, a lot of us work and we maybe work in a factory or whatever, and you only have 5 minutes that you could get to work early before you have to hit that time clock. You put him in your steering wheel, put him in your car, put a verse that you are wanting to memorize. But I'm telling you, it will change your life if you just do those small little things. Before you go to bed, put you a verse on a, or do a prayer jar. That's my biggest reminder, is I have 3 prayer jars by my bed. 2 of them are my prayers, and 1 of them is full of answered prayers. Mm-hmm. And so when I see those, I don't pray over them individually. I pray, Lord, answer those prayers that are in prayer jar. Those reminders, you know, putting things on your mirror, you have to do that. And it
listen
will make
to
a
sermon
difference.
While you're in the shower. Mm-hmm. Listen
while you're
on your
dishes.
Yeah, while you're on your way to work. While you're putting on your makeup.
And your kids are gonna be like, why are you listening to that? But it will change your life, and things will get.
And you don't know who, you know, your kids, your husband might be listening, and it might.
Lindley hates to ride with me. I won't say hates, but she knows that if she's in a car with me, she's going to be listening to a sermon. If she's in the car with David, he's going to be listening to some kind of rock and roll. She likes all the older rock or whatever. So she knows, but that is something that she's always going to remember about me. Mom is always listening to a sermon. One thing in Proverbs 31, I remember when I was a young mom, there was part of the verse, and I don't have it memorized. I'm not a great Bible memory person or whatever. But I wanted to be called blessed by my children. I wanted my children to call me blessed. I wanted to be that Proverbs 31, and I was so far from it.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't even check off. But now as I have walked, I'm starting to see that that's who I'm becoming. Mm-hmm. And my children, that's 5 years from the time that they saw me at my worst and my darkest, in my detox and my grief, and I had disappointed them and I had hurt them, for them now to see where the Lord has brought me, that has made my children's faith so much stronger because of me. I stood in the gap. I'm standing in the gap. I started this before my husband did. I started this before my children. It started with me. Mm-hmm. And if you are a mom whose family is everywhere, there's chaos in your family, let it start with you. And it's not going to be overnight. It's going to be 2 years of you being faithful to the Lord and praying and seeking and pushing your children to Jesus. And every advice that you can give them, it's about Jesus. I have watched Lisa's daughter be transformed by everything Lisa has told her has pushed her to Jesus. And now Abby is just exploding. I mean, she is becoming a child of God. I'm watching it in Carly's life, my daughter's life. And it's because we have been faithful, not to toot our own horns, because, you know, but we have worked hard to become who we are because we have had to make that choice. And Jesus said to us, come and follow me. And we had to make those choices to come and follow him. And so do you. And so
it's a better life.
It is. There ain't no way I would go back. There's nothing in this world that it could offer.
I don't even think there's a way back.
Nope. I will never sit down. I will never sit down. And I know, and a lot of times I see people who lose their husband or they lose people in their life and they just stop, you know. I would hope that that would not be me. And I would hope that my sisters would come along and lift me up and things like that. But that's why it's important to have a group of good, godly women.
You've already been through one of the hardest battles, or 2 of the hardest battles, and look what you did.
Yeah. But it's, you know, you just never know what life's going to bring. And so you have to have those sisters around you that can lift you up, remind you of the word. But I'm telling you,
if cheer you up and remind you, you did the worm on the cruise ship.
I know. My gosh, that's so crazy. They're probably like, let me tell you, like I was saying, the weather was not good, or you know, they're going home telling stories of things. They were like, there's this one white woman on there from Kentucky with this Jesus hat on, and she broke down and did the worm. Gosh, bless my husband's soul. So anyway, but yeah, let it start with you. If you're a mom or you're in a wife, that's been my prayer here after listening to Lee's sermon, was when David is, like I said, he's going through a process too. The Holy Spirit's working on him. When he's like throwing a tantrum or whatever, I want to be the one that walks over and kisses him and tells him that I love him. Kind of shock him, because he's used to me just firing right back at him.
Did you hear the story about the lady who was married and her husband got mad about something and
he locked her out? Yes.
It's like freezing cold outside, and she stayed on the porch. And when he came to the door the next morning to let her in, she said, "What do you want for breakfast?"
See, that would not be my response. No, that would not be. And it would have to take Jesus.
Yeah.
But she loved her husband so much that he locked her out because she went to church. He didn't want to go to church.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And he wanted her to stay with him. And she went anyway. And it was freezing cold, and he locked the door, and she slept outside on the porch. And the next morning he comes to the door, opens the door, and she says, "What do you want for breakfast?" And that changed his life, and he became a pastor. So you just don't know. And that was my prayer this morning. It was that story that made, like, Lord, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to do that. You know, I love you that much, because
it's not. I don't want to freeze on the porch.
No, I don't want to freeze on the porch, but I want to love my husband so much that I can overlook his tantrums and bad behavior and stuff like that, and love him because I love God first, and that's what he calls us to do. So we'll be back next week, and I think we need to kind of roll into, like, women. You know, women of God, and then we'll bring Chris and Jesse on and kind of talk about marriage, since our pastor's talking about marriage. Okay. And, you know, because I think that's important. What?
It's probably going to step on my toes.
Of course. It always does. It always, because we can always do better as wives. So, all right. So you all start with you this week. You find you some note cards, get you some verses on there, spend some time with Jesus, put your armor on. That's right. And don't walk away sad. Whatever the Holy Spirit is pressing on you to give up, and you know what it is. You know, that's so funny. We know what the Holy Spirit is convicting of us, because when we do it, we're like, you know, you just know. So be obedient and let that go. That's where your treasure comes from. And then follow Jesus. We'll see you next week.